Proverbs 21, verse 13 through 18. These are the words of God, so let us hear them with hearts that are offered to him in worship. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. A gift in secret pacifies anger, and a bribe behind the back strong wrath. It is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. So for the inspired and inerrant word of God. One of the things that we discover as the Lord teaches us from his word and his spirit writes on our hearts that we are created for him and we're redeemed for him, that we're not like the beasts who only enjoy created things, but we are made in his image to know him, enjoy him, and glorify him. And even the enjoyability of the created things that he has given us is for enjoying him. And that the proper use of them is to praise him and magnify him. If God is your pleasure, if God is what makes you feel satisfied and happy in life, then the more exalted you know him to be, the more satisfied and happy you are, because you are increasing your view of and the display of the one who is your pleasure. So stuff, whether it's money or the beach or good food like we'll have later or whatever it is, has two primary purposes: the enjoyment of God and the service of God. Some of you are probably clever enough to realize that that's very similar to your primary purpose. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, and stuff's chief end is the enjoyment of God and use for the glory of God. So, one of the things that sin does, however, it is it says, I exist not to glorify God, but to glorify myself. Not to serve God, but to serve myself. And I exist not to enjoy God, but to enjoy myself. And it corrupts, it perverts the good use of all the things that God has created to be good and enjoyable. That instead of enjoying those things, and by doing so, enjoying how good and generous he is, if you say, my chief end is to glorify myself and enjoy myself forever, you turn God into the servant who offers up these pleasurable things so that it can satisfy our self-indulgence and our enjoyment in and of itself becomes its own goal. Now, when you view things that way, you suddenly are stingy with others. You close your heart to the poor because you want to keep more for yourself. You don't want to imitate your Lord. I mean, one of the reasons to be generous with the poor is because God has been generous with you. And the thing to be most generous with the poor, you guys know this, is not just that they would have food or a little bit of money, God forbid, because most of them have gotten to be poor by what they have done with money. But it's not just to give them created things. If you know that the great gift in everything is the Creator, you want to be able to be generous with them in a way that gives you opportunity, and along with which you can use words that proclaim the goodness of your master, and offer them not just a little bit of good for a little while, but perfect happiness, perfect holiness, and the inheritance of a new heavens and a new earth forever in the Lord Jesus Christ. To think that that is some kind of spiritualizing of how to help the poor would be to admit that you don't really believe that God himself and eternity and the new heavens and the new earth exist and are good and are the only good that that man can have. It doesn't mean that you ignore his needs. It means that you see his needs and your opportunity to meet his needs in light of what we've been saying about the purpose of things in the enjoyment of God and the service of God. But if we are living for ourselves, if we get caught up in, we just enjoy good food and the only thing we're thinking about is this is, you know, this feels really sensorily nice to my taste buds, and I like the hormone release that I get from full feelings, and so I'm going to just keep stuffing it in the food entry hole until there's no more room and enjoy myself. Or you hoard money, or you find, you know, some activity enjoyable that hopefully is not sinful in and of itself, but the activity itself, you just can't stop. You just keep doing it and doing it and doing it because you're doing it for the pleasurableness of it and not a good thing that God has given you or whatever. That view of life, that approach to life leads to stinginess. And that's the approach to life of someone who doesn't know that God has made us for himself, doesn't know and rejoice that God has saved us for himself. And that's why it says, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. It's not just because of the providential justice of God, where he makes in his providence our stinginess to return upon our own head and discipline even his children who have fallen into the sin of stinginess, and then we cry out to him and his spirit brings to mind this text. And we remember, aha, my Lord is sanctifying me, making me to feel and know how I have been to others, putting me under his hand of discipline for a time. Those things are true. But in an ultimate sense, Proverbs 21:13 is saying, if you shut your heart to the cry of the poor, you're showing yourself to not understand the purpose of things in relationship to enjoying God and glorifying him. And if you don't know God as your purpose, and you don't know God as your joy and your pleasure, then you don't know him. You don't actually have him in Christ if you don't know him that way, regardless of what word formulas you've spoken into the air or thought in your head. And if you don't know God as your purpose and your pleasure, then really he's not hearing your prayers and answering them for Christ's sake. Even if in his providence he does things that correspond to what you have asked, the only true answers to prayer are answers that come for the sake of Jesus, by those who come to God in Christ and receive according to what Jesus does. So it's very important symptom or feature of genuine faith that we are generous with those who are needy. And it's an alarming symptom of spiritual illness or perhaps even unbelief and spiritual lifelessness if we are stingy and closed-hearted towards the poor. There'll be lots of times if you are open-hearted towards them that they're, you know, you can't do all that you want to do because you're not God and you don't write everything. But that closed-heartedness is a symptom of spiritual death, and that open-heartedness and generosity is a symptom of spiritual life. Well, I had originally read through verse 17 because the rest of this passage, almost all of it, deals with a right view of our things and of the good things God has given us in the context of our relationship with Him. But I think that's a full enough instruction for one worship time. So let's just finish there. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you that you who have no need of us creatures have yet in your generosity and goodness created us that you might be generous to us, that you might give us to know you, that you might give us to know ourselves to belong to you, that you might give us to enjoy you, yourself, and all of your created things, that you might even give us who by our own free will have sinned and died and are under wrath and condemnation, but you gave for that to happen so that we might be redeemed in Christ, and you yourself might become a man to give yourself for us on the cross and to us in our union with him through faith and in the indwelling of your Spirit. And we bless your name, O God, for how generous you are, and that your whole design in all of this is to give yourself. So grant to us the ministry of your Spirit, that our response would correspond to that, that we would enjoy you and live for you, and that when it comes to how we view things, that our service of you and our desire to imitate you and to see others come into the knowledge of you in Christ and enjoyment of you, that would dictate what we do as far as generosity is concerned. Grant, we pray, that your Spirit would reproduce in our hearts the heart and mind of Christ, that we would have an open soft-heartedness towards them who are needy, and especially the spiritually needy. And we thank you for the opportunities that you give us, and we pray that you would help us in them. Bless now the rest of our day as we rise from the worship, and don't let us forget what we have thought about and heard about from your word as we worshiped you now. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.